Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Well, good afternoon, and how the hell are you, Boston? It is Rich, Ken, and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson right here on 93.7 WEEI. We are broadcasting from the Ketches Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937 because that is the way we prefer to communicate with you. We don't do the social media stuff much during the show, so I want to hear your sweet voices. Also, you can go to the Odyssey app, press a little WEI thing as a microphone there, and you can record a message that we'll play later on in the show and launch yourself a take grenade. Can I see you basking in the glow, the buttery glow of a home run derby? And you're saying, I proved all you wrong, suckers. I said the format was going to work.
You said it, I didn't. I'm disappointed at Ted. Ted, did you see his text?
I'm sorry. Did I spoil all the fun?
Like, what the hell?
I'm sorry about that. I just, it's not my thing. The home run derby's never been my thing, but now I've been listening to Jones and Keefe talk about how fun it was, and now I'm hearing you guys talk about it. So now I feel bad that I didn't watch it. Historically, it's just never been an event that I really got, you know, worked up about. But it sounds like I missed a good one.
Ted, listen, let's go ahead and do it, because sports happened last night, Stiz. Let's let it roll, shall we?
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes, and Sports Happen is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Last night's home run derby was like the movie Oppenheimer. Lots of bombs and about an hour too long. Oh.
482, the longest so far from Wilson Contreras.
Oh, my
That one might have gone
gracious.
Even deeper.
Let's go.
Not a Matt Olson nods in approval. There's your longest of the event so far.
Another one!
Oh, he's cranking him.
Oh, my God!
Wilson
Another
Contreras
one!
Oh! A nice little heater with six.
And that's a boom shakalaka.
Oh, no.
Lights out.
Right. Okay. That's what you missed.
Well, the audio does not do it justice. It was a visual performance.
Well, I'm guessing the coming up with this idea that maybe it was the home runs were longer in length because they weren't being on a clock, right?
So well, they weren't taxed as much.
I mean, so was it like, more fun to watch the distance of these homers?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Shakalaka.
So who's that? Who'd they have?
I don't know, but all I know is that they started off with Will Ferrell.
Oh, that was a bomb.
But I don't blame Will Ferrell. So there's a new show that's going to be on Netflix. Hawk, I think, is the name of it, where he plays a golfer. And they had him and Luke Wilson and somebody else from the show doing kind of a play-by-play thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
And how can you be Netflix, worth billions upon billions of dollars, and not get your sound right? Like, the sound kept dropping
out.
And, like, throughout the entire home run derby, the sound was off. Then they rolled out Michael Buffer.
Is he 85? How old is he?
He's got to be. And he got out there and he goes, oh, you're going to pay me to say that sentence, huh? The sentence that if any radio station says that sentence, I'll sue their asses. I remember there was a period of time where Michael Buffer was sending like messages to like every single form of media that used the let's get ready to, I'm not going to say it. And like, he would threaten to sue him.
Yeah. We still have to do the training once a year. At least I do.
Oh, and it's got the Michael Buffer clause?
Like, you better not say it.
No question. But they rolled him out there, and the sound was off. But, I mean, yesterday, I said that the new format was going to be a disaster, and in the end, it was a little better than expected. Jordan Walker ended up winning it in dramatic fashion and took home $1 million, which is a big deal for a guy that only makes $790,000 a year.
Oh, wait a minute.
He didn't donate it?
A little better than expected? That's all you're going to give it? It was like it was arguably the best home run derby of all time.
Here's why.
There you go. Get in there, Ken.
I will tell you why. Is because it took an hour and a half to get to the good stuff. Wilson Contreras was cool at the beginning. Don't get me wrong. And I'm glad that he started off. Because, I mean, he hit some 470-foot dongs out there. And he was doing it with a bat that had Bowser from Super Mario Brothers on it.
Oh, that's his nickname. Nice. I didn't even know that.
Bowser.
He said, guys were calling him that. And Trevor Story was calling him that in spring training. He didn't know what it was. So he looked it up and... Because his hair, you know, he's got that kind of Bowser-esque spike, I guess.
He's built more like a Mario. He's more of like a Luigi.
Okay.
Yeah, Bowser, you think of like a hulking monster of a man, like Reacher. You know, I don't think of Wilson Contreras like that way.
Yeah, sure.
Like Ted would be more of a Bowser than Wilson Contreras. Yeah. Wilson Contreras is like, you know, Peach.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like Peach.
What an insult.
Well, Peach was the best character in the second one. You know, Peach could fly. No, no. He's like a small. I mean, like, he's not Bowser. But he, the one thing, Ted, that drove me the most crazy is that it was a pitch count. I'm sorry. It was a swing count this year. And it should have been a pitch count because there is no excuse for Wilson Contreras to watch four pitches go by him before swinging.
He was tired. It was the last swing.
Ooh.
Yeah, I also think he was trolling Philly a little bit.
Yeah,
because Philly was, that was a great crowd.
Can we get Stiz's take on this? Because Stiz is, admittedly, not the biggest sports fan. Stiz, you watched it last night and your thoughts were?
Well, let me just say, now I am. I wasn't all my life, but now I am. Last night, my first real home run derby that I sat down, watched the whole thing. I loved it. I really did. Came down to the end. Jordan versus Schwarber. I loved it.
I just thought that it took way longer than it should have to get there.
Round, 20 swings?
Is that 20 swings of the first round.
Okay.
And then it was 15. And if you hit a home run on your final at bat,
you get another one.
Then you get another one. But nobody did, which was kind of cool until the final round.
Yeah.
Which was great. And that part was great. The final round was good, but it took you an hour and a half to get there. It took way too long.
So
for a home
beginning to end, an hour and a half.
2 hours.
2 hours.
It was always, actually, it was pushed three, I would say.
Maybe.
It was almost close to 11 o'clock.
But it is an hour too long.
But Wilson, if you're a Sox fan, you got him right away. Then you could take a nap, then come back. I mean, you pick your spots, you know what I mean? I thought it was well done. And I hope Boston gets a derby soon. It's Wrigley Field next year.
Okay.
And then unknown in 28, but 29 is a possibility, I am told. Maybe Bradford has more on that.
Is the last time it's been here?
It was late 99, 90s? Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's almost inexcusable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
And by the way, that was a great field to have it in. I did enjoy how it looked. Yeah. And there's really, the best part about all of it was the Philly crowd, because they were not only booing Wilson Contreras and anybody else that wasn't Kyle Schwarber, but they were booing the kids in the outfield
when
they were dropping balls. Which
give the people what they want. I mean, really.
Which actually made me laugh my ass off.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm kind of crapping on parts of it in that it being too long, but there were moments that were enjoyable. It was perfectly fine as long as you don't mind tuning out for several minutes and playing Wordle on your phone or something, you know, during a big chunk of it. But the beginning and the end were great, and Wilson Contreras was impressive.
He was impressive, actually, and I thought, coming out of the broadcast, this put him on the national stage. He's already won a World Series. He's been like, the guy's not unknown in baseball. But don't you feel like as a leader of the Red Sox, now his credibility went up just from performing in this? And maybe, I don't know if Ted, if you think that like could translate when he comes back in the clubhouse, like guys think more of him or something like that. But it's like an intangible thing.
It certainly doesn't hurt. I think it definitely gives him a little bit more credibility. In fact, that he's having a career year. He's already almost matched his the most home runs he's ever had in a season already this season. So I think it all helps the profile of that event, being invited to that event. It will separate him and set him apart, and he will have a little bit, I think, more sway in the locker room because of it.
Yeah, and I just think as the product as a whole last night, there's a lot of stuff they can improve on. The sound thing was inexcusable because even like the at-bats, like everything all changed. Like the sound would drop out of the crowd, and you wouldn't hear the bat pop, and then when they would try to go to the, like, there was one part where Will Ferrell was trying to talk to Michael Buffer, and
that was
a disaster. It was awful. Like, nobody could hear anybody, and like, things were overmodulated, and you're like, this is so amateur hour, but it's Netflix. Out of all of the places that should have the cash to do something right, it was this. But you know what? I will give you this. I'm going to give you a little bit of credit.
Thank you.
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Jeff Passan said it was going to stink. He was getting trolled afterward. I mean, people were like, you know, awful announcing. Jeff Passan's a loser. ESPN shill. You know, it was great. One of the best ever.
But 3 hours is too long for home run derby.
Yeah,
it's too long. You got to figure out a way. Matter of fact, you could even tell that the guys were getting worn out. So maybe you cut down that first round instead of 20 swings. You 15. Make that one 15 as well. Maybe 15, 15, 10. Then you got a little bit
I'll
of a
settle with that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It was a little long if you sat start to end, but I don't think people would do that. You know, you probably just tune in for your guy. Whatever city you have a representative, you come in for that. But, it gets me encouraged for tonight. We got another event. You said this was dead. You said the Derby was a non-factor. Now we got the All-Star game itself.
Now, the one thing I also said was that the All-Star game is excellent.
As a matter of fact, you do like it.
No. It's the Home Run Derby I'm not a fan of. The All-Star game, as a matter of fact, Major League Baseball's All-Star game is the only All-Star event out of all four of the majors that I think is worth watching. Because, I mean, the Pro Bowl stinks. Oh, we all know that.
Come on. It's not even really a Pro Bowl anymore. It's still a competition.
It's awful. And the All-Star game in the NBA is just an embarrassment. Like, that's no good. And with hockey, it's whatever. It's fine. Because I know they tried to do a couple things to make that a little more interesting.
I mean, the stars in the Major League Baseball, they play.
They don't
sit it out and let the third, fourth, and sixth alternate play like they do in football.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it better. The stars are literally playing out there.
Yeah, it feels like it means something, you know, and obviously does mean something to a lot of these guys. And I'm glad last night that you had Walker win it. Because, I mean, especially when you found out, you know, he's going up against guys who are making millions upon millions of dollars. Ooh. And he gets up there and, like, you know, I'm going to make more money than all season long if I win this thing. And so you're rooting for the guy. And you're rooting
star.
For Schwarber to lose because it was in Philly. And the crowd obviously reacted accordingly.
Yeah, well, it's good for baseball. I think Walker was drafted in 2020. So here we are, like, 6 years later. He's already becoming a star.
Yeah.
So it happens quicker than you would think for some of these guys. And it does make you, again, want to rip Chaim Bloom for letting Schwarber go the first time.
Oh,
and
yeah,
again, Breslow this offseason. Like, how good is he? It's just, it seems unbelievable that you would have let him go for Yoshida. You know, basically, they wanted a guy with a higher average and on-base percentage than Schwarber. I
mean, the personality was a perfect fit from the very beginning.
Yeah.
The absolute very, very beginning. Those guys, those nerds, they can't quantify personality. They can't understand the importance of a personality like a Schwarber, what it means to a locker room. So that's the unfortunate thing with these analytic guys is they can't see the power of the leadership of a Schwarber, of a Bregman, that kind of stuff.
And that's what Theo Epstein was calling out when he was in that podcast about Craig Breslow, is that, you know, sometimes you got to get back to the human side of it, which I don't think anybody could sit down with Schwarber and not see what he did with this team and just go, you know what, you've still got some good years in you. Let's keep you around.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead, they put it in a program.
young up-and-coming potential stars, superstars like the Red Sox have, they don't want to let those guys down. They have so much respect for the Alex Bregmans, of the Schwarbers of the world, that they aren't going to, you know, misbehave because they don't want to be embarrassed and let the those guys, those captains down.
Well, that's what – so Contreras had a chat before the – Derby, and he said something about the AAA guys, and it stood out to me. I don't know if it was a direct shot at Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer.
Oh, I didn't hear this.
But I thought it was worth playing back at some point. Maybe we'll get to it later in the hour.
Oh, I want to hear this. Okay. Yeah.
It's just, I think it's him pointing. He's trying to pump up his current team. It's a little Jaylen Brownish, actually. You know, it's like, this is my favorite. The guys we have here are playing the right way, to paraphrase. Stiz, do you have that clip of Wilson? He's going to find it.
Okay.
But without saying it, it's like, I like what I'm seeing from the current team here, and you can certainly read into it that it's a little bit of shot at the guys that are not here.
Oh, no question it is.
Well, something's going
Absolutely
on. We're going to find out soon, like, what's been going on behind the scenes with Roman Anthony, because you don't just send a guy to Florida like that, especially when he's your star player, and use the excuses that you didn't have room in the trainer's office, you know, for him. Like, that's what Craig Breslow said on Greg Hill's show, which is the dumbest excuse I've ever heard. Do you have the clip here?
Yeah, here's Wilson.
Okay, let me go.
A roller coaster so far for the Red Sox, and you've been the best player on the team. How do you sum up your first 4 months in Boston so far?
The best. Boston to me has been the best. The fans, the team, the front office, my teammates. I wouldn't change a thing from Boston. Of course, we are right now in third place, I think. We're not where we want to be, but we are on our way there. We're already making adjustments. The team is have a really good chemistry, and the energy is there, and the guys that have been coming up from AAA are doing a great job. They're willing to listen, willing to work out, and they're willing to leave their heart on the field, which that's what we want.
Yeah. You can miss it. It was hard to hear, but he did say the guys come called up from AAA are playing, you know, their hearts out kind of stuff. So
do you think that's a shot at Roman? I didn't think it was a shot, but I can see how it can be viewed that way. I just think that he's trying to make these new guys, who are performing well, they've been impressive, trying to make them feel like, you know, you're needed, you're important, you know, continue to try to, you know, follow my leadership, because, don't get kicked out of any games. But it's been good to see.
I'll put it this way. If I'm Roman Anthony and I hear him say that, I'm perceiving it as a shot. So that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might not be intended to kind of, call those guys out. But if I'm those guys, I'm thinking that's what it was. And so I would hear that and then interpret it however I wanted.
Interesting. Well, I mean, it definitely can be interpreted that way, no question. And, you know, who knows what's going on with Roman Anthony, but all I know is that it sounded punitive when I've heard, when we heard the reporters talking about it, we're going to have Rob Bradford on here in just a few. He's been out at the All-Star game and was at the Home Run Derby last night and spoke to Wilson Contreras. So we'll talk to him about all that here in just a few. Next, though, in 2 minutes, it seems like this Christian Gonzalez versus Greg Bedard thing keeps getting worse.
Ooh, I like this.
Is Bedard working for the Patriots in order to try to lower that contract value? We will get to that. Not going anywhere. Back.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-793. Even real quick, a couple of texts. Someone said, best derby since the steroid showdown. The intros were obnoxious. Could have shaved 30 minutes off with that junk. You're right. They are going in the right direction. I'll give them that. I was wrong about the format. I did not like the
I was wrong.
I was wrong about the format. I thought the format was fine. They just need to trim it. They need to make it less less swings. And you shouldn't be able to take four pitches in a row. Just sit there and watch four. But come on, that's your guy.
You want a pitch clock?
Yeah, right. You sweat.
Swing clock.
Absolutely. You should. You know what? As I said, it should be a pitch clock instead of a swing clock. Just, you know, it's your guy. It's your fault if the guy's not hitting your strike zone. All right, 617-779-7937. Ted was kind of the first one to worry me about this Christian Gonzalez situation. We all know that he is eligible for a contract. And the word was, according to a lot of sources, was that Christian Gonzalez not only wanted to set the market for his position, but the original ask is going to be that of being the highest paid defensive player in the league. Now, I think all of us agree he would never get that. And as a matter of fact, he would accept less than that. But I believe that is your starting point. And then the Patriots talk you down and you find in the middle that you end up setting the market for your position in the end, after all. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way that I believe natural logic would think things would work out for a team that indeed wants to pay the third best corner in the league, according to Jeremy Fowler's rankings on ESPN.
Right.
But Ted, you were the first one to say, when did the Crafts really do this? Mm-hmm. Like, when did they not only set the market, but set the market twice? Because they are going to have to do that when Drake May's extension is due next year. So it's a good question.
Which, by the way, Curran has said he believes they did it with Brady once, Logan Mankins, and Will Fork. I didn't go back to check his work on that. And then he said pre-Bill, they did it with Ty Law and Bledsoe and maybe McGinnis.
I mean, you're talking 20 years ago.
Yeah, you're going way back.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's all I'm saying is it's been a long time since they've done it. And the only way they did Will Fork is it went to the very end and Vince had all the fan support behind him and they did not want to do it, but they caved in because of all the fan fare that Vince had garnered. And they just, like, the fans would have gone crazy if they didn't sign Vince. So they were forced into it, pressured into it. I'm not sure people feel the same way about Gonzalez, but that was a long time ago that they did that. So I'm just saying it's just been a long time, and they do not like setting the market. That's all I'm saying. It just isn't really something they enjoy doing.
Well, negotiations can be nasty. Ted knows this better than anybody. Oh, yeah. He's been in the middle of several of them.
Not with Ted. He went to Florida. All was good. He went to the Kraft Air Force One, and that deal got done, baby.
Yeah, that first one went pretty smoothly. The second, third, fourth one, not so.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
But listen, even if things end up, you know, great in the end, even the best contracts, there's headbutting and there's both, you know, the team is trying to say you're not as valuable as you think you are, and the player is trying to say I'm more valuable than you think I am. And in this case, you're wondering where this is coming from. This is a clip we played yesterday of Greg Bedard. This was the clip that set everything in motion. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, I think is a good reporter. He reports what he hears, and here's what he had to say.
One part on that, one knock on Gonzalez. Some scouts and coaches believe he's not physical enough. I would say you could include some people with the Patriots also thinking that. Quote, his game is a bit finesse at times.
Okay. Now, I said this yesterday about Greg Bedard. Greg Bedard's going to report what he hears, whether that is him standing around listening to decision makers or people whose opinions are valued within the organization and reporting it, or a phone call made to Greg Bedard, maybe from somebody who is a decision maker. It doesn't matter. Either way, he hears it, and he's going to report what he hears. Some people might think, well, if the Patriots are calling him and, you know, basically having him do his dirty work, if I'm Bedard, I'm reporting that. If the decision makers are telling me this is what I think about him, I'm not going to say, how dare you use me? I'm going to say, no, a guy who's making the decision told me he's not valuable. I'm reporting that. But Christian Gonzalez obviously has a huge problem with this because he retweeted that comment and said, some members of the, Greg Bedard got something new to say, ant me every day, LOL.
Yeah.
So he obviously is listening to the noise. He seems frustrated with what's going on, and he has indeed picked a fight with Greg Bedard. So to that, Greg Bedard responded last night on NBC Sports Boston.
I don't know how many are remaining today, how many questions the team has about him today, but he hasn't gotten his contract, and that he's a little sensitive about somebody being critical of him a little bit, I would say maybe it's not a great sign.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Do you read his sensitivity as a sign that it's not going well because he doesn't like that commentary being out there?
Yes. You know, I would say that there's a little bit of sensitivity. And I think that Christian Gonzalez is also, and this is one of the part of the knock on him coming out, is that, you know, the mental toughness and how much criticism does he like and how can he take tough coaching? You know, so maybe he, you know, most people around here just say Christian Gonzalez is awesome. Just give him whatever he wants. Here's one thing where, all right, there are some questions about him and you know, a little bit of sensitivity, I mean, is fine. But I think that there's still a ways to go with the contract.
Okay, Ted, the fact that it's gotten to this point, what do you feel is going behind the scenes here?
It's fascinating. It would be weird to me. It's this new regime using the same tactics that Belichick would use. I think this is a Belichick tactic, is let's get people in the media to kind of, you know, send messages out there so that, you know, basically when we don't sign this player, fans will go, oh, you know, well, there's a lot of negative, media about this guy. And so maybe, you know, that's probably best not to sign him. But
do you think Vrabel's influenced by Bill from years with him?
I don't see it. And Vrabel's put his personal stamp on Gonzalez at the end of the season.
Yeah.
After that Giants game on that Monday night game, I think, or whatever, Thursday night game, he was – he said basically, you know, that he turned the corner. And I'll just say this. This is, I don't know about Greg. Greg Bedard's the only person saying this. I haven't heard anybody else.
Well, Jeremy Fowler did say it's not particularly close with us last week.
No, I'm talking about just
you're talking
being
about sensitivity.
Soft, being
yeah.
soft or being, you know, right? Not
yeah.
being.
I mean, it was in that Fowler article that one of the knocks on him is his physicality, but not soft and sensitive. That's
but is he proving that he is soft, mentally by responding to Greg Bedard
that? I don't know. It's like if it's the only person doing it and you're trying to get you're close to the finish line and this is the one person you feel like is kind of got a vendetta against you, I would probably be a little sensitive too.
I'd heard that criticism before though about him, and I don't know where I heard it that he was not soft, but he had he wasn't a good tackler and
coming into the league.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I gotta say, I'm looking at my phone here, so I type in Christian Gonzalez for my notes. I got a note here that says from June 13th, 2023, and it says, Bedard, in my notes, Bedard keeps saying Christian Gonzalez is soft-spoken and doesn't have that dog in him.
Man.
So,
yeah.
He's been saying this for years. He's the only one that's saying this. And if I'm Christian Gonzalez, it's like, dude, that was 3 years ago you were saying that about me. You're still saying that about me. You keep, even in this last clip, he just said, coming in, this was the book on him. Well, dude, he's been in the league for 3 years, and I think he debunked all of those because the word was when he came in that he was soft, that he wasn't a tough tackler. I think he has proven in the 3 years that he's been in the league that that's a false narrative.
Okay, well, more is coming out. I mean, it really is a campaign against Christian Gonzalez right now, and Christian Gonzalez seems to be getting pissed. I love it when players speak up. I do. I don't think it's always the best thing for them when they do. It gives us more of an insight on what they're really thinking, obviously, but I don't know whether it's a positive for him to say something. I think if I was in the middle of negotiation, I'd probably say nothing at all.
Well, he also did the money sign too.
Yeah. So you're asking for it.
This
yeah.
is in his head, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why I think if they don't get a deal done soon, I just think it could get ugly in the camp.
Well, Bedard did have a great clip we can play coming up about the finances here and how rare this is of what Gonzalez is asking for. I think it's kind of revealing.
Which, actually, once again, sounds like something the Crafts would tell him to say.
Maybe.
Yeah, but I want to hear this. Okay, because I have not heard this one. I heard that one. I have not heard this next one. All right, we'll get to that. And we'll take your calls, too. 617-779-7937. What does this mean for the Crafts and Christian Gonzalez? And will you be pissed if they let this guy walk or they end up getting picks for him or, you know, that they don't seal the deal? Will you be upset as a fan? We'll take your calls right after this. Oh, a little Clash. Always welcome. It's 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937 or go to the Odyssey app. Press that microphone button and launch a take grenade. We play those later on in the show. And Ted had me worried, man. It was about maybe a month ago. We were talking about this Christian Gonzalez upcoming extension, and I just thought it was a done deal. How do you let this guy go after the year, after you went to the Super Bowl? You've got, you know, a good thing going. You're going to try to get rid of any bad press that you got from the whole situation with Mike Vrabel and Diana Russini. So why would you piss off your fans even more or make there be, like, more aggravation? Mm-hmm. Get something positive out there for the fans, and then you were the first one to just go, hang on a second. This isn't a fait accompli. This is not something that we can immediately say is a done deal.
That's my gut, and that's what I'm thinking. But there, I want to give you an example to maybe reverse your feelings on this, mm-hmm. and feel good about maybe what's going to happen. Is, do you guys remember when Stephon Gilmore comes in here in 2017 as a free agent?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember his contract at that time?
I don't.
He was, I believe, the highest paid corner.
Okay.
Malcolm Butler, who just, you know, who saved your bacon in the Super Bowl against Seattle a few years before, was let go. Okay. He was not re-signed. And they bring in Steph Gilmore and pay him the most of any quarterback or cornerback that year. So they
did with Revis too, right? Or what was the Revis deal?
They traded for Revis, and I don't remember exactly the contract.
Maybe it was just 1 year of big money.
So my point is, they're not totally against paying cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Now, you would think they would be more apt to pay their own homegrown guys.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, Stephon Gilmore, who had never played for the Patriots, coming in and making all that money. But there is a precedent where they have paid that position top of the market, but it was a free agent and not a guy they drafted in homegrown.
5 years, $65 million when they signed Gilmore in 2017. Pretty good money.
Yeah,
good money.
Back then it was.
But now they're looking at what, $31 million a year? Is that what?
That's the standard. And probably he's asking for 35. And to your point, like,
he is
best players in the league, 50. You know, maybe he's starting at 50. But I think this Bedard clip is pretty interesting. I had not seen this, and Bedard obviously did the research on this, on the corners. Basically, he's saying, I'll just let Bedard set it up for you, because if you don't mind. This is him on Boston Sports Tonight, last night on NBC Sports, talking about how rare it is if Gonzalez gets this deal right now.
Now, I looked at the eight top cornerbacks and how much cash they got in year four, in year five, even though they got quote-unquote extensions. Only two got big money in year four. That was Derek Stingley with the Texans, and I would argue they didn't have a lot of people to pay, so they paid him. And then Deron Bland with the Cowboys, and they're a circus with their contract.
Sauce Gardner,
Sauce Gardner made $625,000 cash in year four. He got $25.5 million in year five. Most guys, Trent McDuffie, $2.6 million. That was last year with Kansas City. $2.6 million in cash. Got the new contract this year after the trade to the Rams, $22 million. J.C. Horn, $3.5 million, then $30 million. Jalen Ramsey, $2.35 million, then $26 million. So, you know, where Gonzalez is not out of the ordinary. And the Patriots probably expect him to play ball. I think they're open to meet us in the middle. We'll give you a raise this year, but a lot of it is going to be an extension where he gets his money in year five.
Jeez, Ted, you are right about all of this.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it's just opinions and theories. You know, that's a Belichick technique, is if you're going to, you know, especially a guy that's, he's clearly worth a new contract, but you don't want to maybe give him all of it now. So you, just to kind of get him through this year, you just, hey, here's a couple extra we'll tack on. And that satisfies him until you start this whole process over next year.
Well, I just think that he's not going to play. I mean, aren't you starting to feel that?
I feel that way. I feel he can rattle off all those names, Greg can. And I bet you Christian Gonzalez is like, yeah, so what? Yeah, so. I just get the sense he thinks he's better than all those guys and probably and deserves a contract now. Based on what he did in the Super Bowl in the season when he came back.
This just sounds, those numbers right there just sounds to me like Greg got a phone call from the Crafts.
We're offering him $3 million this year. Like Ted said, good faith, we'll give you $3
million.
But stick around, wait till next year. Gonzalez ain't going for that.
No, he would not. And there was one thing that he mentioned in the clip that we played before the break that I don't see why this is a bad thing. They're like, well, he's not signed yet, so obviously something's wrong. I mean, a lot of times these things get settled like right before the season starts. We've seen that happen before.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, that's what I'm expecting with
this. In fact, De'Ron Bland, the one guy he mentioned, August 31st last year is when he signed his deal.
Which is exactly when I imagined if they signed Christian Gonzalez, that to be right around the date that they would do it. So I don't buy into that, well, things are obviously haywire because he's not signed. No, this is just kind of how it works. But I don't like it. And Ted, I got to think that as a player, you know, was there ever a smear campaign against you that was put out there, like by a reporter who had some sort of article that they wrote or anything like that?
No, my contracts weren't like big public. There was maybe my first big one.
Yeah,
was kind of a big talking point.
But Art wasn't the GM by then.
He was not the GM. That was Andy. Andy Weisenchuk was the GM. So. It would have been even tougher negotiation if Greg was the GM back then. I thought Pioli was tough, but I can't really speak from experience on that, on what it must be like to have a public kind of negotiation that obviously Christian Gonzalez has, but he's made it public by sitting at the Celtics game and doing the money sign.
Yeah. And you know what else he did? I don't think any of us would be talking about this if Christian Gonzalez didn't respond to Greg Bedard. It would have just been Greg Bedard speaking on one of his podcasts, which are very good. But I guarantee you 1/100th of the people would have heard about it that have heard about it now, because Christians, it drives me crazy when athletes do that. Why do you say these awful things about me? Hey, world, look at these awful things that are being said about me.
Wait till he goes on Jalen's stream. That's going to really put it in the next level.
For sure.
774 text, though. This is Robert Kraft. Bill's gone, and it still goes on.
You think
that's what's happening here? That this is sort of Kraft's philosophy? He and Bill formed together, and now he's still carrying that through.
Ken, Robert Kraft spent a first-round draft pick to bring in Bill Belichick, who had a bad career with the Cleveland Browns, mainly and pretty much mostly because they saw eye to eye on the cap and how you pay players. So they were simpatico when it came to how you value players and how you should pay players. So Kraft is very, the text was right. Kraft is very involved in this.
So Stiz, you said that Bedard was sending some advice to Christian Gonzalez?
Yeah.
I'm sure Christian Gonzalez wants to hear now.
Yeah, this was Bedard the other day.
Okay.
So this aggregator said, some members of the Patriots organization do not believe that Christian Gonzalez is, quote, physical enough. Two words. So that's where this came from. And if Christian is listening, my advice would be don't ever give those guys any sort of attention. This is what they dream of. They want to tag the athlete. They want to tag the media member, and they're hoping somebody amplifies it so that they make money. And they're just the bottom of the barrel.
You're talking about you.
You or Duff Kliman?
You're talking about you. So, stop the clip. Stop the clip.
Don't give me attention.
Whatever you do, don't make me famous. Don't get me hits. Don't drive up my traffic so I can charge more for ads on BostonSportsJournal.com.
Darn it, Gonzalez tagged me. You moron.
No, Greg knows what he's doing. Greg is very good at his job. And as I said, even if it's the Crafts calling him up and telling him this, I'd still report it. Because it's one of the decision makers, and that is their opinion.
Yeah.
But it's up to us to be able to decipher, well, this does sound like something someone's trying to drive down the value of a guy during a negotiation, and just kind of see through it all. Because that, to me, I don't know, but Greg's taking it personally, too. I think that it's when the people start to pick sides and just social media, I guarantee you, Greg's reading the comments, you are Patriot, and you hate the Patriots, I'm never reading your show again. And of course, they still will, and he gets more hits. And that's how it works.
But I've got to respect Bedard. He's getting it somewhere. I think maybe he's got the pipeline right to Robert.
Oh, he does.
He does.
I think he does. I think he has a red phone at his house that goes straight to the stop.
Straight to Robert Kraft.
I do. Wow. I really do. I think he's always been in. With those guys, I think he wants to be in. I think partly Greg's always kind of, had the desire to be in the front office of an NFL team. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is what they're feeding him. And part of me thinks it's because the ask and the what the Chris Gonzalez side is asking for is what you've been suggesting, Richie, which is not just the highest paid corner, but maybe one of the highest paid defensive players. And they're like, you know what? We got to get some bad, you know. And if I'm Christian Gonzalez, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing what Jason Tatum did and have his trainer send out stats for me. I would just sit there and go, what are the Patriots defense DVOA with me and without me? It's a huge, huge kind of like sign that would show you Christian Gonzalez is this defense is much better when he's playing when he's not. I would just throw out analytics stuff on my Twitter feed if I was Christian Gonzalez.
Or as I said, just you know, yesterday, take the Super Bowl, edit out every awful play that the Patriots made, and it will just be a tape of Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah.
That's it, and just send it to him. He goes, here were the positive plays from the Patriots during this Super Bowl. You ain't going to pay me now? Mm-hmm. You're not going to pay me? I delivered on the biggest stage. Nobody else did. Me! So pay me the cash, baby. All right, we got Rob Bradford is on with us. He has been out at the Home Run Derby. On top of that, he is going to be at the All-Star Game tonight, and I want to get his interpretation of what Wilson Contreras said last night. Was that a little bit of a shot at Roman Anthony and some of these younger guys? Because right now, whether you like it or not, Wilson Contreras is the face of this team. He is now the guy.
He's your leader.
And he's the leader, and last night solidified it. So we will talk to Rod Bradford, who, by the way, fresh back from Scotland.
Yeah, he got the kilt and everything.
The kilt and the balls are flapping. He is back. All right, we'll get to him right after this.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Oh, Motorhead's just the best. I got to see him before he died. I got to see Motorhead before Lemmy died, and wow. I can... That's where
brag, bro.
That is. I will brag all day about that one.
That is a legit brag.
I went to his grave.
Oh, gee.
You went to his grave?
I did.
Oh, yeah. Dude, how awesome was that? That's out in L.A., I take it, right?
Yep.
What's wrong with you guys? How awesome was that?
That's cool, man. It's like he's a metal guy.
Yes.
Is there any legend you would go to the grave for today?
No.
Nobody ever?
No.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah. You'll do something untoward there.
Yeah. It'll be a little more wet than it was beforehand.
Ding, ding, ding.
I went to Dimebag's grave, so I've done it too.
Okay, well, see, I don't know if I would go to anyone's grave. I probably wouldn't, but that's cool. That, I mean, you know, listen, he's, you know, it's Ozzy, and then it's Lemmy. And that's really, and then everyone else is way below it when it comes to metal.
Really?
Yeah, but Ozzy's number one. Lemmy's right underneath him, and then it's like a huge drop.
What about Ronnie James Dio?
No.
I was at that grave as well.
Thank but you very much.
No, well, I'm into like the macabre stuff, one. I'm a horror guy. But two, no, it's that famous Hollywood cemetery. So like everybody, Johnny Ramone's there, Chris Cornell, everybody.
Gotcha. Oh, all right. So you just do one sweep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Ronnie James Dio's got like a little plaque at the Dana-Farber, because I think he got treated there. So I remember one day, it's like this wall that has a bunch of people's names. And it was like, so-and-so, 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 Ronnie James Dio.
What?
Whoa. Sure enough. Yeah, but I guess, yeah, he got a lot of help.
There's a town in New York that has, like, streets in, like, and squares named after him, because that's where he was born. It's Cortland, New York.
I thought he was a New Hampshire guy.
He is a New Hampshire guy.
Grew up in New Hampshire, but he was born in Cortland.
Okay. Right? You know, you never see Ronnie James Dio and Carla from Cheers in the same place at the same time.
Just a shot.
they're kind of... I think he was married to Danny DeVito at one point. All right. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted, and we have a gentleman with us, fresh back from Scotland, and he is also right now letting the world know that he is a huge fan of Wilson Contreras' Bowser Bat. It is their own Rob Bradford. He is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Mr. Bradford, how does it feel wearing pants for the first time in a while?
Who said I'm wearing pants? I mean, don't assume anything. By the way, McFarland to you all, and Lemmy's memory will always be carried on by every radio appearance I have and every air guitar competition in the history of the world. So, yes.
Excellent, excellent. But real quick, how was Scotland? I mean, they ever since they came here, they were very wise in that there are ads all over Boston that are like, you visited us and now come, you know, we visited you, come visit us. And I want to go now after the experience that we had there.
You should go, man. Like, you should. It's awesome. It's great. It's like, surprise, surprise. The people who came over to Boston are the same people, same friendly people same drunk people, everything. And my two sons went out clubbing out in Edinburgh, and they texted me like 3 o'clock in the morning. And one of the highlights of my life was when they sent me a picture of someone at the pub they're at. They said they like the Baseballs and Boring podcast.
So, Oh, very nice.
So we're all, it's the two cities combined. And I was just talking with somebody in Kansas City, and you talk to all these other people, not to get a off track, but it is, we should remember this summer of like, oh my goodness, this was the summer that other people came to our place and remembered that you could put a smile on people's faces. And that's what I'm doing right now, by the way. Here's a perfect segue. I'm sitting at Citizens Bank Park, an empty Citizens Bank Park, overlooking the field, the All-Star game, great game of baseball, yay baseball.
All right, before we get to last night's home run derby and some of the comments that were made by Wilson Contreras and the All-Star game, just your take on what this Red Sox team has done over the last couple of weeks, where now somehow they are sitting a half game out of the playoffs.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them. I mean, they took care of business that you went into after you swept the Yankees and you had a couple losses. You had a little bit of bump in the road with the Nationals. But we knew that this schedule was coming up. We knew that you had the Angels, the White Sox, and the Mets. And the White Sox were the one team, you're like, oh, maybe you might have some trouble. But these other two teams stunk. That's not taking anything away from the Red Sox. They figured out a ton. They pitched the crap out of it. I mean, unbelievable. But we have to also take a step back. Why the fact is that they are firmly in the playoff race. The fact is they should be a buyer. They should not be a seller. But we also should understand that the narrative and how this team is defined isn't cemented, because you have a tough road coming up here, starting with 4 games against the Rays. You have to prove that you can hit. I love a good bunt. Everybody loves a good bunt. But ultimately, you're going to have to do more than that. You aren't going to be able to pitch like you did. So, in synopsis, yeah, good for you, Red Sox, but you have a lot to prove.
Now, Bratho, yesterday, I got a text from Will Fleming, the Will Cano, and Arcan chastised me for even repeating this, because he said he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear this on the air. He wants action. He does not want reports about things that may happen. However, I said it already yesterday, so I'll say it again to you. Will says the Red Sox are trying to swing big. Can you confirm or deny?
No, I can't confirm. I would like to deny, but I would definitely not confirm. And I believe that Will talks to a lot of people, and maybe they've talked about swinging big and whatever it is. But you have to prove it. Like, this is, we went through this last year, and really we went through it the year before. They just picked up this guy, Jamai Jones, who was DFA from the Detroit Tigers. And this is sort of what they have done, which is we have our cavalcade of analytical guys, our guys in the office who say, we see this in that guy, and we're going to fix him, and he's going to be part of the solution. And they've hit it on a lot of guys. But you can't say that is the solution. You can't say, if we want to define ourselves in the American League, that we're just going to keep picking up these guys and even ride the guys who have been called up. But to come back to what you said, Ken, is that they have to prove it. Last year at the trade deadline, Craig Breslow definitively said, our sole priority is to get a pitcher to pitch in the playoffs, that level of pitching. And they ended up with Dustin May. So if you go in and you say that is our sole purpose and you don't achieve it, then you've lost benefit of the doubt. So Arcan's instincts are keen.
First time that's been said.
Yeah. Well, his brand has never been hotter. It's all well and good, but we've heard this way too many times.
Hey, Bratho, do you think there's been a clear and defined kind of psychological shift in their methodologies when it comes to playing small ball? I mean, they're hitting sack flies. They're bunting. Every single game here, it feels like the last 7 games. What do you think that? There's a clear shift in how they approach, games at the plate than before when things were going bad.
Yeah, Ted. I think that they have understood that they have to play that way a little bit, but they weren't able to play that way. And I'll juxtapose it against the Rays. The Rays have had this team where you have all these pieces fit just perfectly, where you actually play small ball. You're bunting all over the place, and that started on opening day and hasn't stopped. Well, the Red Sox, when they've tried it earlier this year, it hadn't worked. Now they've actually had some success. They're executing it. So they're doing it better. So I think that they understand that this has to be the way they play because they aren't going to hit a ton of home runs. But it's one thing to say this is the way we're going to play and actually do it. They're just doing it now. And in large part because I think that some of these guys who have been called up can do it better. And Anthony Seigler can do it better. So, you know, I think that it's all well and good now, but I'll come back to what the question Ken had. I still say if you want to define yourself and you want to get to where you want to go, you're going to have to find what they got, the guy they got in 2021 in Kyle Schwarber.
All right. Well, Rob Bradford, when we get back, we're only going to be gone for 2 minutes. When we get back, we've got to ask you about what's happening with Roman Anthony, because this is a head scratcher. It sure does sound like the way that some of the insiders are talking about it, that this is possibly punitive. And the explanation that Craig Breslow gave Greg Hill left a lot to be desired. So we will get your take on that. We'll be back with Rob Bradford. He is live at the All-Star Game, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.